And this is still WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
Hello, it's WBAI New York, and it's 7 o'clock, time for Off the Hook. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello.
And over in Skype land, we have Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
We have Gila.
Good evening.
And we have Alex.
Hello, everybody.
And sorry for the bumpy start. Most of that was my fault. We had a smooth week last week. We get one, that's it. And we're off next week, so we're going to recuperate. But in 2 weeks, we'll have a smooth intro, I promise. All right. Well, you know, it's a changed world since last week. Things are quite different. A lot has changed. The convoy is gone from Ottawa. Ukraine's being invaded, but we'll get to that. Trump launched a new social media platform on Monday, and we're all just nonstop talking about this. Okay. Who has an account? Come on. Spill the beans.
I didn't get one.
You didn't get an account?
No.
They turned you down?
Sure, yeah. I actually wasn't that interested.
You? Yeah, right. Okay, Alex, I know you got an account.
You know what? I didn't even bother.
What's wrong with you people? Oh, my God.
Well, you know what? Why would I don't want to be associated with any of this. But I heard that there was such a backlog of account creation that it was meaningless to even try to get an account there, but I really don't want my name to contribute to the velocity of this type of thing. I think, you know, these social media platforms are, in my mind, to a large extent propelled by their own momentum. The more accounts they have on there, the more likely it is that people are going to sign up. And I don't even want my name and address or even a bogus email address of mine to contribute to that.
Because that's what will make it a success, a bogus email address of yours.
You think it's like padding
It's all the little things that add up.
Sounds like you forgot to do it. Okay, Rob, how about you?
You know, I've already got too many social media things to keep track of.
Oh, my God, another one.
I didn't really want to add one more. Gila,
tell me, you made the attempt.
Sorry.
Does nobody care? My God, this guy used to be president. He's running a site called Truth. Truth. I mean, Truth hasn't meant so much since, you know, those anti-smoking zealots had that account. I just assumed everybody else was doing it, so I didn't. If you tell me the website, though, because I don't know what it is, I'll go register right now. Oh, my God. None of us know the website, do we?
I'm guessing it's like truth.social or something.
Yeah, that's how you get malware, by guessing what it might be. No, not falling for that again. Does anybody know what it's called?
No, we're working on it.
Hang on. My God. Wow. I'm sorry, folks. This should be priority number one. We let you down.
It's not truth.social, I'll tell you that much.
Well, okay. Because .social isn't a top-level domain, is it?
I was going to say.
I've got it here. It's truthsocial.com.
Really? That's the best they could do? Truthsocial.com? What an awkward phrase. All right. Truthsocial.com. Yeah. There it is. Okay. It says join the waiting list. Why would there be a waiting list if they're open? Okay. Well,
that's what I was talking about. There's a backlog for account creation.
No, that's not what you were talking about. You talked about not wanting your bogus email address to contribute to Trump's success. That's what you were talking about.
Well, also, there was a backlog. That was the initial thing that I had raised.
About a half a billion people got backlogged?
I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of backlog. I think it probably has something to do with the manner in which the accounts are created, that it's not working properly, right? You know, or perhaps they're only letting a certain amount of people on the platform to make it seem as if it's some kind of exclusive type of club, similar to what Gmail did back in 2003, 2004.
I got a website error, 405 not allowed. Does that mean I'm not allowed, or is their whole website broken?
Interesting. Did you really get a 405 error?
Yes, I did. You think I'd make something like that up? 405, not allowed, right in front of me.
I think you made something like that up.
Beneath that, it says nginx/1.21.5. What you will.
That's a proxy server.
Okay.
Nginx.
Can you
reverse proxy or something like
that?
Well,
can you access it and get into it by the end of the show and bring the server down to its knees?
You could stop it if you were working on the machine.
Okay, let's do that.
That'd be simple.
No, we're not doing that.
But I think it seems like it's started and it's working. But it's working in that it's telling you that it's not allowed.
So they succeeded in getting an error message to display. That's good. Congratulations. They're moving forward. Go ahead, Gila.
I mean, I was going to say the other way that they're kind of running it down, keeping, you can't access, there's no app for Androids right now. It's coming to the Google Play Store, but right now the app is only active on the iOS platform.
But wait,
make it that way.
I'm trying it on a laptop and it doesn't say anything about having to use a particular type of phone.
So we went to truthsocial.com and all it says was you can sign up for the waiting list and download the iOS app. Follow the truth.
Well, who among us has a device with iOS on it? I don't. Do you, Kyle?
No.
No? Gila, I see you raising your hand.
I do have an iOS device.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't like waiting in lines in general, and I don't know if I want to get into the half a million strong queue to join Truth Social to, like, I don't know, man. That just seems like a cesspool I'm not really super psyched about.
What's happened to this country? We used to all get along. Now we won't even sign up for ex-presidents' social media platforms. Alex, I know you have an iOS device, but it's a waste of my time to pursue this, isn't it?
Probably. Yeah. I think it very well may be.
Well, then let's waste time by just updating people on what happened. People who downloaded the app reported seeing error messages when they tried entering a birth date, email, or phone number to create an account. That's for people, I guess, that did have iOS. Something went wrong. Please try again, the message read. That was kind of the post-2016 election slogan, wasn't it? Something went wrong. Please try again. And we did. We did. Anyway, others reported they were placed on a wait list after signing up due to massive demand. Do you really think it was massive demand or just a massive incompetence? We have placed you on our wait list. It sounds kind of ominous, doesn't it? And you got a wait list number if you were lucky enough to be put on the wait list. People who pre-ordered Truth Social had the app automatically downloaded to their iPhones. The app's release underscores Trump's plans to return to social media after being booted from Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube last year. The companies made the rare move to bar Trump, who was president at the time, from its platform because of concerns that his remarks could spark violence following the deadly January 6th Capitol Hill riots. Well, I guess he hasn't yet gotten a single message out. I haven't heard of one. And very few people apparently are able to get in. So, wow, it's moving along just as planned.
Maybe he's on the wait list, too, and he hasn't been able to get signed up either.
Well, you know, one thing about him, he likes to be treated like everybody else, so I could see that happening. You see Trump waiting in line for his own system to work. Okay, Truth Social, I guess we put that on hold. But you know what? It brings up something interesting, because we started a fight today at 2600 with Instagram. We just, you know, we're bored and had nothing else to do, waiting for the other convoy to start driving to Washington. So it's a slow day. Well, apart from the invasion of Ukraine, but we'll get to that. I promise we will. So we realized, you know what? We're not on Instagram. Why aren't we on Instagram? And we realized we're not on Instagram because we're banned from Instagram. We are banned from Instagram. And we've never even done anything on Instagram to get banned in the first place. You guys surprised by this? Alex, you look stunned.
I'm never stunned with things that come out of your mouth at this point.
Well, that's wise.
Yeah. Go on.
Well, it's our name. They don't like our name. They don't like 2600. And the reason for that is because they have some kind of system they claim where they can't use all numbers, which is not true because they're our accounts with all numbers. I think one is called 433 or something like that. So, okay, you're going to start off by lying to us and saying that you can't. First of all, they never said it to us. We've never gotten a human. I don't know. Are there humans that work at Instagram? I've never heard of one. But we can't get anybody to actually acknowledge us, respond to us, give an explanation or anything. This is just what other people, Instagram apologists, have said to us over the years. And this has been going on for many years. Basically, you can't have an account if your name is all numbers. Well, you know what? Our name is all numbers, and that is our name. And I don't know of any other entity, really, that is affected like we are. Now, you could say, why don't you change your name? Yeah, that's nice. You expect us to change our name because it doesn't fit into the parameters of some antiquated megacorp. No, we're not going to do that. 2600 is our name. That is what we are going to use. Why don't you spell out your name? Why don't you put your name in numbers then? You know, come on, you can't tell somebody to simply change who they are, whether they're a company or an individual, to suit some ridiculous a standard that doesn't make any sense. It's not the 1980s anymore. We used to have trouble using all numbers in various fields back then, but we figured it out. It's now 2022. You know, I think we can handle this. In fact, I know we can handle this because they are handling it in other accounts. So, yeah, we realized, you know, we're kind of upset by this. Weren't even thinking about it before, but once we got fired up, yeah, we could have done so many cool things on Instagram. Think about it. We could have put up pictures of, you know, old computers and phones and hacker meetings. And, oh, boy, the lost opportunities just because they won't let us use our name.
Yeah, I was going to do some like unboxing and various colors of unboxing and
what's unboxing?
Yeah, you know, just things I find you know, showing off like new old stuff.
Yeah, the stuff that's in the box. Okay,
we get equipment sometimes. We find various things, various artifacts from telephone history.
We legitimately find them. We don't find them.
Or like, you know, if we're working on our phone booth, maybe we want to like update people. That's a perfectly normal thing.
You didn't know
we had
a phone booth. Well, if you looked at our Instagram, which doesn't exist, you might have seen it.
Check out the progress on our phone booth restoration.
This world would be a happier place if there were a 2600 Instagram account over the last few years. We could display various cool things.
You know, that is probably the main source of joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Being denied to people on Instagram.
Absolutely.
At this point.
No, they won't have it. They won't answer. They won't make any exceptions. So that's our social media battle of the day. And every day we have a different one. Every day there's something else that gets in the way, annoys us. Some ridiculous rule, somebody not doing that job, someone not answering basic questions or fixing security issues, things like that. So if you feel this is something worthy of attention and you know anybody at Instagram, if there are any people there, or you just have a way of publicizing this, please, by all means, help us get our name to be represented on Instagram like everybody else on the planet is able to do. Don't discriminate because we're all numbers. Alex, looks like you have something to say there.
Oh, I always do. It's snarky as usual. But have you tried signing up to Truth Social with all numbers yet?
Okay, you just heard me try to sign up to Truth Social and not even be able to get past the first line. So I don't think I can get a number registered yet.
Did you hear about our payphone of the day project on Instagram? Did you hear about that?
No.
No, you know why you didn't hear about that?
How did I miss that?
Because we're banned from Instagram.
We don't have an Instagram account.
That's right.
So we can't post that. Can't post that. We can't post old computers. We can't post old printouts of old computer systems from many, many years ago.
Or what about articles, various periodicals yesteryear that might have a certain prescience to the moment?
Pictures from the 2600 warehouse. Yeah, that people would never see otherwise.
Oh, wow.
They'd have to come visit us and look at our photo albums. That's the only way they could see those things.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many pictorial ways to show the hacker world. And we get contributions all the time, but we have no place to put them, except in the magazine, of course. But we only come out 4 times a year, whereas Instagram comes out once a day.
It's a shame. It's a real shame.
Oh, you can do it whenever you want? Okay. See, I don't know how it works. I don't know how, because they won't let us in. All right, we have to move on.
Yeah, that was not the only story you had.
No, it definitely was not. So the Adopt a Trucker campaign, they had a bunch of emails leaked by a hacker. What's wrong with all the people that get involved in these movements? They're always getting hacked, always having their info leaked. You get the feeling that that information security is not high on their list. A hacker leaked emails from the inbox of Chris Garrah, or Garrah. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm going to say Garrah. All right. Chris Garrah, the founder of the Pro Freedom Convoy fundraiser, known online as Adopt a Trucker. The data cache, which contains roughly 250 megabytes of emails and attachments from Garrah's Proton Mail account, was provided to the Journalism and Transparency Collective. Well, guess who? DDoS Secrets on Monday, yesterday. Wow. It's amazing. Every week we're reporting on something they're doing, something they're revealing.
I'm interested in how Proton Mail was compromised.
I thought Proton Mail was... Yeah, I thought
they really hard to get stuff from?
You guys have any insight on this?
Not especially. Just it was interesting today to see Proton Mail being sort of dunked on by so many voices in the security industry, not only for this, but just in general. A lot of people are saying, you know, just running your own email client with properly instituted encryption, PGP, GPG, is basically as secure as Proton Mail will ever get, maybe more so. So, of course, our pals at DDoS Secrets, they do good work, and it is fascinating to see the things that come out of what they do. You can reach them at DDoS Secrets or DDoSECRETS.com. And as you said, there are so many things coming out like week by week. There are new things, and it's all very enjoyable.
Do you know what you can't do though? You can't link to their site on Twitter. Yeah, here's another thing in social media. I'm right. Can you verify that? If you try to link to anything on their website, is that a technical problem? What makes that happen?
I could see that being like a precaution.
A precaution, Alex?
My understanding, rudimentary as it is that by design, Twitter will not allow you to link to DDoS secrets because it would violate their policy. I believe this is the case. It would violate their policy of linking to quote unquote hacked materials or stolen data, things like that. Right. So that becomes problematic on a number of levels, especially when if you consider in DDoS secrets has become such a popular repository for critical data that is certainly within the public interest, as this story indicates. And then you compare that to something like what happened with Credit Suisse this week, which is, you know, yet another whistleblower came out of the woodworks and released a trove of data about Credit Suisse accounts going back, I believe, as far as decades. And that material is also exfiltrated material. So there are lots of news stories, and I believe you can link to all of those news stories, and there are a massive amount of journalistic outlets that were involved in analyzing the data from the Credit Suisse leaks, the same cast of characters that were involved in the Panama Papers, the same cast of characters in terms of media organizations that were involved with the Paradise Papers, and what was the latest one, the Pandora Papers? It's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, if you're linking directly to a source that has the data itself, for some reason, that is forbidden.
Hang on. When you started talking about this, I thought you meant that you couldn't link to the hacked data. That sort of makes sense. But what it sounds like you're saying at this point is that you can't leak to the people that have that information somewhere on their site. And that, to me, is a real issue. That's a real problem, because you're blacklisting people who have basically leaked information that they didn't hack themselves. It was leaked to them like a journalist, you know, like the Pentagon Papers, like all sorts of things. Like, you're not linked to the New York Times because leaked information can be found in their pages. I mean, where do you draw the line here?
Yeah, I think it's the domain itself that is banned from being linked to on Twitter, as I understand it.
Right.
And Rob may have some additional color on that, because he's bobbing his beautiful head there.
Well, that is true. And interestingly, if you search Twitter for DDoSSecrets.com, you will just see a bunch of tweets about, because I can't link to, and then they obscure the name of the domain. Here's a link to another story or something. If you do use Twitter, we can highly recommend following Emma Best, the co-founder of DDoS Secrets, who was a guest on this program some time ago, and retweets or otherwise provides additional insights into the news stories that come of their work. You could find them at NatSecGeek. That's NatSecGeek.
Now, before you send letters that accuse us of being hypocrites for not complaining when Trump gets kicked off of Twitter, but we are complaining about this, you know, they have the right to do this. Twitter can do this. It's their system. If they say, you know, we don't like people using the letter E, they can do that. We can say it's stupid. We can say it's hypocritical. We don't have to like it. But we do recognize they can do it, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to let people know this is what they're doing. This is how they're being hypocritical. Just like, you know, we'll say Google is being hypocritical when they won't, like, spell out marijuana when you're typing that into a search bar. You ever try that? For some reason, they are more conservative about something that is legal in many parts of the country, and they do everything possible to keep you from actually finding that word. If you're trying to type something out, alcohol's no problem. Sex crime's no problem. Every horrible thing you can think of that you can type in, it'll suggest a word, but not marijuana. It's weird. So yeah, there's all these little, fiefdoms on the internet where basically these mega corporations decide what is right, what is moral, what is not. And I think, you know, it's up to all of us to point it out when we find them.
They should at least link to the etymology of that word.
That would be nice.
They're going to show one suggestion.
Go ahead, Alex.
Well, you know, I feel like this is something that comes up several times every year on this show. And I remember us several years ago arguing about Alex Jones being kicked off Twitter and whether or not that was right. And, you know, I still maintain that I think it's wrong for social media companies to determine whether or not we should be seeing certain content, whether or not it's good for us, whether or not it's bad for us. It seems like it's a very paternalistic stance for a technology company that, yeah, in all likelihood, probably knows me and has more data points about myself than I could ever imagine. But I don't think it's right for them to determine the content of what I should be seeing, and that we have to go back to the fundamentals here. And I think that the best filter, the best firewall for nonsense, and the best technology that we have to screen out absolute garbage like Alex Jones is not necessarily the tech companies and their algorithms that are going to overblock or underblock whatever the content is at issue, but our own gray matter between our ears. And I think we should rely on our own education system that teaches us about spurious logic and specious thoughts and fallacies, and that we need to really rely on ourselves to moderate content, not necessarily tech giants.
You're in the United States right now.
I am indeed.
Okay. And you think our educational system is sufficient to protect us against nonsense, lies, rewriting history, all that kind of thing. I mean, yeah, in theory, what you say is great, but in practice, doesn't work.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm a product of the public education system and the public university system, and I think you are as well, Emmanuel.
Last I checked, yes.
Yeah. So wouldn't you say that it did a decent job at teaching you perhaps right from wrong and how to put one foot in front of the other, sentence, verb, object, subject, verb, object,
you,
whatever that is.
Have you attended one of your reunions lately? Yeah, what do you think of the people that come to those things?
I do get the point.
Yeah, yeah. So imagine all the people in high school and college that you went to school with. Imagine what they're doing now. Tell me that system worked for the better. I don't think it did.
Most of them are on anti-vax Facebook groups. I will give you that. Mm-hmm. But
these groups is because the social media companies allow these lies to fester and spread unchecked. There's nobody there to check them. And yeah, I agree. It's disturbing to have this paternalistic atmosphere that these companies basically exude. But like I said, it's their system and they can do that. They are allowed to do that. We need an adult somewhere to say, hey, this is not true. This is wrong. We can prove it's wrong. Otherwise, you just have situations like we just saw in Ottawa where people are up there spreading all kinds of fiction and being believed in their own little bubble and having that spread on a global basis. It's very, very dangerous. And I know, controlling people in any way is also very, very dangerous, but we can't ignore one for the other.
Well, I just think that we're trying to fit a psychological problem with a technological solution here. And I think the tech companies time and time again have failed to get it right when it comes to content moderation. I think that the universal panacea here, what will right all of these wrongs, not just in the United States, but the world over, is if we had better funding for education. We can look at the errors and the missteps.
We're getting to the point where we can't even talk about slavery in schools. Okay, so
yeah, they're banning books.
how do you see us getting to a stage where education is going to solve these problems when education is becoming illegal?
It has to. Well, banning slavery and things like that. This is idiotic, and certainly it's indicative of problems in our educational system. But at root, what we're talking about is logic. Right. And really philosophy, I believe wholeheartedly, if people were taught more clearly how and concisely how to think, how to reason, how to recognize fallacious arguments, that would contribute greatly to the decrease of misinformation that is spread around social media platforms.
I agree.
That is not taught in schools these days.
But when Mr. Spock comes down from the sky and teaches us logic, that'll be the day where this isn't an issue anymore. But until then, you got us. You got humans that are just running around spreading all kinds of nonsense. And how do you say, no, that's wrong, and move on from that? When's the last time you had a conversation with somebody who believed fervently that the election was stolen or that the vaccine is some 5G conspiracy or whatever, and convince them using your logic, using your very rational points? It doesn't work. Doesn't work. I've spent so many nights in bars trying to make it work. It doesn't work. Go ahead,
well,
Rob.
That's because they've already gone down that rabbit hole. You got to nip it in the bud when it happens.
Well, when's that bud? What do we do? All the people have already gone down the rabbit hole. Just seal it up and say a prayer. Go ahead, Rob.
While we've been talking, I've been playing around with the URL d.secrets.com on Twitter. And I found some interesting stuff. First of all, if you try and tweet it, it won't let you tweet it. It will say something went wrong. And if you're persistent about it, you get an error message that says we can't complete this request because this link has been identified by Twitter as or our partners as being potentially harmful. Visit our help center to learn more. And that even holds if you try and send it in a direct message. I tried direct messaging one of my other Twitter accounts, just the name d.secrets.com, and it fails to send by saying, this request looks like it might be automated. To protect our users from spam and other malicious activity, we can't complete this action right now.
Well, that's just a bold-faced lie. Automated?
It really is. It's completely lying. I'm just doing this in desktop Twitter, you know, no bots or anything. I found some older tweets from before the ban that had DDoS secrets URLs in them. If you click the URL in one of those older tweets, you don't get the site. You still get a Twitter page saying, warning, this link may be unsafe, and another page full of warnings that it's potentially spammy or unsafe, and in accordance with Twitter's URL policy, this link could fall into any of the below categories, blah, 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 blah. You get a big button to take you back to the previous page.
Can we experiment a little bit, though?
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're doing this in real time?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Can you try, because I'm wondering if it thinks that the DM might be automated because it's just the URL.
Mm-hmm.
Can you drop in some ipsum and the URL?
Yes, see if that makes a difference? Send me a DM and just say, hey, Emmanuel, here's a site I think you'd like, and just give me the URL. And if it refuses to send a private message to me with your recommendation, I will have, you know, another fight tomorrow with another company.
Speaking of URLs, by the way, did you know that you cannot paste a link on Instagram? You can't put a link. Links are not clickable in posts.
I wouldn't know that because I don't use Instagram because we're not allowed on Instagram.
Yeah,
I don't use Instagram because it's a product of Facebook, now known as Meta. So that's just my reasoning. But it won't let me send a message even with some text, some descriptive stuff. It still comes up with the error message as long as the DDoSecrets.com URL is in there. So it's filtered. It does not tell you why it's filtered. It lies about why it's not posting it for you.
So,
which is very interesting.
How this works, it's looking for a string, a particular string, and just if you enter that string, it blocks the whole message. What I'm wondering is, what are the worst, most foul words you can think of, or threats, or all sorts of very dark things? Does it block any or all of those? Or is it just websites they don't like or are afraid of? You know, that's disturbing. Again, they can do it, but we can also expose it and say, that's not cool.
I mean, I'm also curious what else might be on this sort of automated kill list.
Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah, it can't just be DDoS secrets, right?
And how hard would it be to make, like, mirror sites that were basically that site with different domains and subdomains in the URL?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could make a complete clone of it that was synchronized to just use a different domain.
Hey, here's a thought. Is DDoS secrets on Instagram? I just want to cause trouble. You guys have anything else? I have another Twitter-related story here.
Oh, sure. Let's go for it.
Okay. Ukraine is being invaded. I promised I'd get to it, and I am getting to it. There is a story involving Twitter, of course, because there always is. As Russian troops and armored vehicles began moving into Ukrainian territory, social media accounts sharing images and videos from eastern Donbass and Luhansk regions have been a crucial source of information, sharing footage of Russian helicopters heading toward Crimea or tank divisions moving to the border. But as the conflict intensifies, many researchers sharing this primary material taken from social media, commonly known as open source intelligence or OSINT, have found that their Twitter accounts were unexpectedly suspended. On the night of February 22nd, last night, OSINT researcher Kyle Glenn was locked out of his account for 12 hours, according to tweets from Glenn and a post shared by another OSINT organization. Security analyst Oliver Alexander also claimed to have been locked out of his account twice in 24 hours. Major pain in the middle of an invasion to be locked out of your damn Twitter account. Outside of the Anglosphere, which is where we are, the French language OSINT account Neuron Intelligence, the Spanish language account Mundo en Conflicto, and Brazilian OSINT account Noticias y Guerras were also affected. A Twitter thread compiled by Nick Waters, an analyst at the pioneering OSINT organization Bellingcat, lists more account suspensions. In a tweet, Alexander shared a screenshot with a message stating that the account had been locked for violating Twitter rules, though the exact rule violation was not specified. Researchers raised concerns that the account suspension could have been part of a mass reporting campaign intended to disable OSINT accounts during a Russian invasion. I would bet on that. Just simply reporting an account can get it suspended. You know, go ahead. Everybody report us tonight, and I'll bet we get suspended. And then we can talk about it in 2 weeks, assuming we get it back. In a statement, Twitter spokesperson, oh, they found someone who works there. Twitter spokesperson Elizabeth Busby said that action had been taken against these accounts in error and was not part of a coordinated campaign. We've been proactively monitoring for emerging narratives that are violative. I don't think I've ever used that word in my life, of our policies. And in this instance, we took enforcement action on a number of accounts in error. We're expeditiously reviewing these actions and have already proactively reinstated access to a number of affected accounts. The claims that the errors were a coordinated bot campaign or the result of mass reporting is inaccurate. Okay, then what was it? If it wasn't mass reporting or some kind of bot campaign, why were they all taken down? Does anyone have an answer? Alex?
You know, this is really interesting to me because it the rule that was purportedly violated here by these accounts was the rule against posting synthetic or manipulated media.
And what does that mean?
That really fascinating.
What is synthetic or manipulated media?
Well, synthetic or manipulated media would be perhaps something like a deep fake or a video perhaps of Nancy Pelosi slowed down to make it look as if she was slurring her words and drunk. You know, there's been a lot of instances of synthetic or manipulated media. And what we're talking about here is essentially misinformation, fake news, you know, false stuff that people are going to be posting. But, you know, I'm not so sure about what kind of technology Twitter has under the hood to detect synthetic or manipulated media. My understanding is it's possible. There is an academic with whom I used to work actually over at Dartmouth called Hani Farid, and he's done a lot of research first into the detection of steganography or embedded messages in images and things like that, and now the detection of deep fakes and whatnot. But I think that the technology to detect this is still very much in its early stages. It's still very much early days for this type of thing. So that leaves me to conclude then, maybe erroneously, that the reason why these accounts were flagged for synthetic or manipulated materials is because people very likely reported them for doing so.
Well, they said that wasn't the case. They said it wasn't because of people reporting them.
I don't understand it then. You know, because frankly, well, no, I don't think that they said it wasn't people reporting it. I think that what they claimed, Emmanuel, was that it wasn't a coordinated campaign of
the result. The result of mass reporting.
That's right. That's different than individuals reporting.
Well, I don't think you're going to get an account suspended if only an individual reports it. You need a lot of people to report it for it to get suspended.
Not necessarily. Not if it's a serious violation or if it's a serious error. You know, if the account related, let's say, to a political figure. If a political figure reports something for misinformation or false or synthetic imagery, or somebody, you know, perhaps with a blue check mark with a massive amount of followers, that's probably going to get more attention than an individual who just signed up for Twitter reporting synthetic or manipulated materials. I mean, unless they're using some kind of detection technology to flag these images, then it must have been reported. And if it can be reported, you know, and taken down by an individual, then they're relying on the wisdom of the crowd, which they know and have and should have learned rather in from the past that can be very, very easily manipulated. So whether it's on the technology side that this error occurred or it's on the reporting side that this error occurred, it's extraordinarily concerning given what's happening right now on the ground in Ukraine and the place in which these platforms themselves have positioned positioned their worth and their value. Because if you think about the idea, and again, this is something I keep banging on about it in this on the show, that these platforms have become ecosystems for diplomats and nations to begin talking with each other. If you think back to the repartee between Donald Trump and other world leaders, North Korean world leaders, discussions and dialogues between nuclear powers, the idea that Ukrainian videos that have a lot of value, inherent value and OSINT value are being flagged and taken down at a critical time in the history of the world when Russia is about to invade Ukraine. you know, that is showing to me that these platforms may not be fit for purpose. This is a clear demonstration of that. It's a clear demonstration that perhaps we should not be relying on these media channels and these systems and these networks to get our world news. There's clear problems here.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more that our reliance on these apps and these Silicon Valley companies, it's unhealthy. And they're demonstrating it for us. They're showing that they don't have a grip on a lot of these important issues. I found the terms of the synthetic and manipulated media policy, and this is what they say. Under the terms, accounts may not share information that has been significantly and deceptively altered, manipulated, or fabricated, is shared in a deceptive manner or with false context, or is likely to result in widespread confusion on public issues, impact public safety, or cause serious harm. And I guess maybe sharing the picture of Russian tanks moving towards Ukraine might cause serious harm or confusion or impact public safety in the eyes of somebody or some artificial intelligence entity someplace. Not the way to get information out. So, pick up a telephone or broadcast something and get the news out that way, but don't rely on these companies.
Yeah, I'm hearing this strong support for traditional, good, reliable journalism and independent press. It's odd that we keep kind of coming back to, oh, wait, maybe this new media, maybe these new platforms, maybe they aren't really the revolution in every sense that they're cracked up to be, that they're really hyped as. And for specific, traditional, important purposes, like diplomacy specifically, that Alex mentions, it's just not something we should be using, especially with weird amplification and other kinds of algorithmic, basically profit-motivated systems running in the background, and then these ham-fisted solutions to control one thing or the other, not really taking into account consequences or side effects or what might also get kind of filtered in the process.
Well, you know, those old-fashioned traditional means of getting news out have their problems too. And just go to RT, Russia Today, they have a presence here in the United States, RT.com. You can probably get it on your cable system. If not, your Roku will easily get it, and watch the news there. Watch the news there. It's professional. It's calm, but it's filled with lies. It's like Fox News. In fact, I've noticed the same stories being read almost verbatim on both Russia Today and Fox News concerning what Ukrainians are doing to Russians and how they're attacking. Yeah, like Ukraine is going to attack Russia. Just all sorts of things that make you laugh when you watch it. But it's right there, and it's being presented in much the same way that Radio Moscow would broadcast complete fiction in the decades when shortwave was the way that the news got out to the world. So state-sanctioned, state-funded media is very privy to spreading all sorts of propaganda and to not spreading the truth. But, you know, we can recognize that. We can talk about this. And I do think that that social media and independent blogs or what have you, podcasts, are also valuable in getting news out. But we have to recognize them for what they are, which is one sliver of the reality that's out there. Whether it's true, whether it's not true, we need to be able to question everything. That is so important. And the same thing goes for what you may be seeing on CNN or from the White House. Question that as well. But there are some things that, you know, when you see them, you know they're true. And doesn't matter how many people tell you that black is white or 2 + 2 = 5. Guys, anything else?
I completely agree with you there. And I think it underscores the need for access to primary source materials, which is also something that is being denied on Twitter with respect to DDoS secrets. And
right.
And I see that as just, you know, another indication that, you know, we're going the wrong direction here when it comes to where we get our media, where we and on what we rely for something like the truth, because the truth is not that which garners the most likes or the most outrage or the most laughs, whatever it is. You know, it's not something that can be shifted or manipulated in that way by the crowd. You know, I believe in certain forms of pragmatism and truth relating to what works in certain things, but certainly not to be manipulated by the crowd or by algorithms or, as Kyle mentioned rightly, ad-based mechanisms that are essentially manipulating our content feeds for profit. You know, when you combine news and ads and amplification and algorithms all for profit, while you're collecting data continuously on those who are reading and where their eyeballs are going, what they're scrolling on, how much time they're spending on this, it's all really kind of scary. I do feel and really hope that we look back on this time 10 years from now with a lot of regret, saying, I can't believe we did that in such an unregulated fashion. And I don't mean to knock on Twitter or Meta or Facebook, whatever the hell it is these days, too much. I mean, they created some really interesting technology that's changed the world. I just don't think it's fit for purpose for dialogue between nations.
I think what is also interesting to think about is that you have to have a rich media environment to compare sources. You know, maybe there's aspects of one entity that you don't trust versus another. Think about it, if we didn't hear statements from the government, our own government, statements from other countries outside of the U.S., and it was just sort of this narrow one place was telling us one specific thing about what's going on in Ukraine, and that was it. That was, we only saw this crisis through a pinhole. Mm-hmm. How easy would it be for all of these other platforms to dismiss that reporting? But because there is a confluence of many different sources right now, including official statements from the United States military, from the State Department, from the Ukrainian Defense Ministry and the Ukrainian president himself and all of the NATO allies and all of these other news organizations, people can compare. Pick your choice. Pick what reporting you want to believe. That may not be the case in a place like Russia or in China or in other parts of the world. And if in turn, you know, you basically put yourself in a media silo of just a social media platform, you do not benefit in the same way.
And you should also listen to those Russian reports as well. Listen to RT, see what they're saying, and reach your own conclusions, but do it based on facts. Do it based on what you can learn from reading history, from just seeing a variety of different perspectives. Hey, we're almost out of time, but I did want to get to a couple of hope-related things. First of all, we are still accepting speaker submissions. In fact, we're coming up on our first deadline, which is February 28th. That's next Monday. That's for early submissions to give a talk at the HELP Conference. HELP is taking place this summer, July 22nd through 24th. At St. John's University in Queens, right here in New York City. It's a really awesome site, a lot more space, a lot more possibility of things we can do. If you have a talk, an idea for a panel discussion or a lecture or something you just want to share in the form of standing up in front of an audience and talking about it, and it's got something to do with technology or hacking, By all means, visit our website, hope.net, and look at the call for participation. It'll give you all the instructions on how to submit your talk proposal. The address, speakers@hope.net, is our email address for that. Again, February 28th, that is the deadline to send in the initial batch. And what we'll be doing is accepting talks from that initial batch and publicizing that in the next month. We'll still be accepting talks after that, but if you want to confirm, if you want to make plans, this is the best way to do it. So February 28th is a deadline for that. We have a letter from Alan who asks us, he says, up until this year, the newest car I ever drove was a 2000 Civic, very analog. And now I have a 2008 Acura, and it bleeps and blinks at me all day for all kinds of reasons, and it drives me crazy. I can hear that. I'd love to look into disabling some of these quote-unquote features on the dashboard screen, but I'm afraid the electronics are too complicated for me to mess with. I don't want to disable something that's a safety hazard. On the other hand, it's only a 2008 computer in there. It can't be that complicated, can it? I'm really into right-to-repair discussions, both on your show and in general, and I think we should be able to modify the things we own, obviously, as long as it's safe. And then it hit me. I hear you all talking about the new location for Hope, how it's going to be great because of all the space. So can I make a request for someone to bring an actual car or lots of cars to the location and show us how to make changes? There's actually room for something like this to happen now at Hope, right? It's just an idea. I'm sure there'll be plenty of crazy new stuff going on regardless, and I'm looking forward to it. Well, Alan, it's all a question of what people bring to the conference as far as ideas, as far as energy. And if people want to do this, yes, we can do this. We can do all kinds of things. There is nothing that I've heard yet that we can't do. All it takes is enthusiasm. And that's why it's so important to spread the word about this. I know everyone has been through hell the past few years, and there's this spirit. I see it everywhere, of kind of defeatism that, you know, we've been crushed over the last couple of years. It's hard to stand back up and to go back outside and to do something and to start organized. But we have to do this. We have to make this and other events something that happen, that inspire us for the future. That is how we get past this. That's how we survive. So the answer is, yeah, this is a great idea. This is something I would love to see. And we need people to come forward and help, not only in this, but in all aspects of the conference. Again, on the webpage, hope.net, you'll see information on how to do that. We are asking for volunteers. We need a lot of volunteers if we're going to pull this off, because we have more space to deal with, more buildings to manage. Volunteers at hope.net is our email address for that. And but go to the website, read all about the conference, and hopefully every week we'll have more things to update. We'll have more things to get excited about. This is a great idea. This is something I'm excited about. I can see it happening.
Yeah, that idea is something that's crossed our mind a couple years ago, before 2020. We went to a car show down in Atco, New Jersey, in the middle of the summer.
Oh yeah,
and just seeing all the car clubs and stuff. I mean, if we opened up and made space for this, I could see that really taking off. There was a lot of interest groups out there for that. Who knows what direction it would take? But we should think about ways to show different technologies, different platforms, different hacking modifications. People that are good at that kind of.
Here's the thing: you can't just say. Let's do this, guys, make it happen. The way these things work, if you have an idea, come forward and help make it happen. I'm not picking on Alan here. I'm saying, in general, we get a lot of ideas, but they only come to fruition if people come forward with ideas and plans and want to put in a little bit of work to make it happen, because there's nothing more rewarding than having your idea come to fruition.
Yeah, for instance, like if you have a car club or a hacking group that meets, you could spend a couple weekends planning on how to get other clubs interested, and we could help coordinate making that space happen. But it really comes from what other people find.
Any final words, guys? Because we have to cut it off now and move off to YouTube. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, just that Hope is a product of its community. And if you know anybody who can add to that, let them know. If you have ideas that, hey, my buddy here deals with X, Y, and Z, and they have some interesting ideas, tell your buddy. Send them to our site, hope.net. And most of all, if you have an idea yourself, check it out, hope.net, and consider submitting.
Yes.
Also, speaking of community, sorry to cut you off, E, but speaking of community, don't forget, next week is the first Friday of March. So we're preempted next week. Don't forget to look for your local 2600 meetings next Friday.
All right. We're moving over to YouTube now, channel 2600, or just click on the link on top of the 2600.com webpage. We'll be back here in 2 weeks on YouTube at 8 o'clock in just a few minutes. Stay alert, stay awake, send us your email, oth@2600.com. Good night. That's right!
Sponsored, non-commercial WBAI in New York, and this is This Day, February 23rd, in Racial Injustice.